everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love thinking about Taylor Swift and everything we read, see, or do.
Oh my God. Honestly, yes. Mm-hmm. It's really, if it was, you know, the Olympic meme that was like, if it was, you know, an Olympic sport, I'd be a gold medalist. Yeah, it would be that for us, for sure. For sure, for sure. Also, you drink out of a Hercules mug. Am I just noticing this now? Yes, I love that.
Cute.
Oh, it's a set.
The other one has villains.
Oh, I respect.
Villains.
Gotta have your good with your evil.
But I'm Mike Land.
Hi.
We're back. We're back at it.
We're back, baby.
How was your weekend? How was your little mini vacation?
It was really good. I was very fortunate. I got very good weather. I can't say that I'm obsessed with Hilton Head, but when people hear that, they're probably going to think like the beach. I can't trust enough. I did not step a single foot on that beach the entire weekend I was there, but I made a lot of crafts. I made a Mickey wreath, which was great. I painted a wine glass, which I've never done. I think my six-year-old niece could have done better, but I'm still proud of myself. I did a Mickey mosaic. I was near the beach. I did the pool. I'm a pool girly. It was very fun. It was very relaxing, very quiet, like a good, like, nightcap to summer, I feel like, you know, like it was the perfect way to spend, like, one of the last weekends of what is, you know, traditionally known as summer. So it was quality. How about yourself?
Oh, man.
Your best life?
I literally did nothing this weekend. Yesterday.
These are some of the best weekends.
I know. Yesterday, I just sat on my couch. We watched this crazy show on Hulu that's like a drama show based on a true story of these two Mormon brothers who...
Exactly.
Who killed their sister-in-law back in the 80s.
Ooh, that's crazy.
And her baby. And so it was like a drama. You know, it was like... based on the true story, but obviously, like, it wasn't
right.
They didn't say, like, this is true or anything like that. Because it follows the detective, and I'm sure that we don't actually have a perspective from him, but
right.
It was really good. Andrew Garfield was the star. He is,
I love,
like,
Andrew Garfield,
such a good actor. Holy shit.
Honestly, he really is so good. He can really do it. And it doesn't hurt that I find him attractive. Those are both good qualities.
Yes.
Talent, being good looking, sign me up. I like both of those things.
Yes. I know. It's hard to find him good looking in this movie, though, because he's in the show. Because he's a Mormon.
Yeah, that's a big turnoff for me personally.
So it's hard. It's tough because you're like, oh.
You're like, you're so talented, but so, yikes.
But why are you a Mormon? But
why are you a Mormon?
But it's really good. He, like, ends up questioning his faith by the end of it. But very good. It's called Under the Banner of Heaven. It actually came out in 2022. So I am a little bit behind. I almost said 2002.
Yeah. That would have been way behind. And and fantastic. I had someone tell me recently, which made me feel old, that, like, you know, obviously, like, our generation, if you were, like, to turn on, like, whatever, Turner Classic Movies or what was, like, the other old channels that would play, like, I can't think of it right now, but they would play, like, you know, old sitcoms and stuff, and some of them were, like, obviously in black and white. And I remember when I was younger, like, that would kind of be a turnoff for me because I was, like, no, like, I have to watch in color. As I got older, that I didn't care. Like, I kind of liked that it was in black and white. But I had someone tell me recently that, like, anything – like, basically filmed before 2010, she, like, it's really hard for her to watch. She can't, like, get into because of, like, the quality of it. And I was like, first of all, it makes me feel really old. And second of all, I was like, so you're saying you can't watch a show that was made in 2006? Because, and she's like, well, I can. It's just, like, the visuals. Like, it really takes me a while to adjust. And I was like, stop it. Shut the front door. So that was wild to me. I'm like, I can watch anything of any, like, I just,
I'm like halfway in the grave, it feels like.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that made me feel so old. So thank you so much for that.
Oh my God.
But yeah, so that was lovely. Also, before we dive in, which we are about to be discussing 16, 17, y'all, we only have four more chapters of this book left, which is wild to me. I feel like on one hand, this book like flew by. And then on the other hand, I was like, we've been reading it. I can't remember time before we were reading this book. It's one of those like time you're like, it feels like both.
Yeah. We've taken a lot of time off.
Yeah. We had a lot of bits and bob breaks in the middle of the Moon and More. So sorry, the Moon and More, but that's how much we wanted to savor you. Before we dive in with only 4 chapters left, just a friendly reminder, because we're terrible at plugging ourselves sometimes, that you can find us on YouTube now. Yes. So if you would like to come see our faces, cool. If you're like, oh my God, no, I already can't stand your voices, I don't want to put a face to that, keep listening to our voices that you can't stand. That's cool too. hopefully they're not so bad. I apologize about mine. But so yeah, come join us on YouTube. Obviously, we're available in all places we've been available before. Spotify, Apple, wherever you find your podcast, really now, we are available on. So tell your friends, listen, come like us on YouTube, subscribe to us on YouTube, leave us a comment. They make my heart happy. What can I say? I thrive on compliments. So, so please send them my way. Thank you. Really appreciate them. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Put all that out of the way. We have some juicy chapters to discuss today.
We do.
And I do mean juicy. Just a quick recap, a little Here's What You Missed on Glee. So essentially, we got our girl Emmeline. Her father promised to pay for her college, and then he fell through, and now he's in town because he's selling his aunt's house. Where does his aunt live, Michael Ann?
North Redmain.
Beautiful. I should say lived, because she has passed on. Sad.
Yeah.
So Daddy O and Benji, I should never call him Daddy O again. That was
terrible. No.
And Benji have rolled on into town. It's so bad, y'all. Cringe. And they're trying to sell the house. Things are obviously a little awkward, but she's gotten really close with Benji. In those recent chapters we read, they made this pact because they're both like really worried about summer ending, because change is hard. It's hard. And it's okay to like be daunted by that a little bit. That's very human. So change is hard. And so they made a pact to learn whatever. And she's dating this guy, Theo. She was dating, you know, a little townie, Luke, for the longest time. But then he hooked up with some girl at Tally Ho, and we said, no, no, no. And now she's been dating Theo. Theo's kind of been giving us the ick. We don't love how, like, he's just, like, weirdly controlling. And just, it's weird. He's weird. So we're not sure about him, but we love Daisy. We love Morris. We love her parents, which is a first. This is like the first Dustin mom that I've been like, wow, mom, you're doing all right. Dad, great. We love both of them. Sisters, pretty awesome. And yeah, that pretty much wraps it up. That's what you missed on Glee. Mm-hmm. Oh, and Clyde. Clyde is involved. That, okay. You all know that. We've been reading this book.
We're almost done with the book, for Christ's sake.
If you were, who have decided to come in on when we are discussing chapters 16 and 17, that's on you. Okay.
Come
that
here.
Has got us up to come chapter 16.
Come here. Oh, say hello.
Say hello. Hi, Willow. You're so cute. Listen, when they interrupt like, now, people can like see them. Kind of.
I know. That's why I was like, I'm going to lift her up so that
everyone can see. I'm going to let the people see. Oh, man.
Sorry. Dropped my book. Didn't need to make that loud of a noise at all. At all. It was what it was. Look at her little butt.
Oh, look at her little butt.
Willow.
Staring longingly up at her. Oh, hi, me. Oh, hi. Hello. Yes, here I am.
She's like, hi, will you let me out of this room, please?
I said, thank you. Dr. Pepper, sponsor us. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Dr. Pepper, sponsor us.
Hi, little poppers. Little poppers. I'm really tired today, if you couldn't tell. Little puppers leaving the room. Okay.
Beautiful.
Thank you. I really tried. I worked really hard on that song. Okay. So the plan. Okay. Yeah. So chapter. I'm so tired. I can't function. So counting down the days this week. I'm like, only 3 more days, guys. Okay, I can do it. I can do it. Toothpicks in the eyes, I tell you. Okay. We're doing great. This chapter starts off with her father. She is at her father's house where Margot is getting some stuff again. We're trying to sell the aunt's house and all that jazz. And Benji interrupts him because her father talks about going back like the end of the summer. So he tells him that he owes him $1 because, of course, of this pact that Emmeline and him made. Emmeline's like, I think that's actually just like technically us. That's, you know, like I don't think your father counts in that, but, you know, sorry about that. And so they're just kind of saying, you know, like change is hard. And they're both, you know, worried about the end of it. And so obviously Emmeline kind of feels for little Benji here in this moment. And I know, I feel so bad for him. There is mention of no-see-ums, which again, my husband did not know about until the last like year when one time I said them and he had never heard that phrase before. And I was like, oh, they're little bugs that you can't see. So you call them no-see-ums.
Yeah. I'm right there with your husband. I didn't know what the hell that was. Andrew called it. Yeah. Andrew was the one who introduced me to that phrase, I believe. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. That makes sense.
When the North marries the South, these are Southern ways. We call them no-see-ums. Wow. So when I read that, I was like, haha, that's funny. Just because I thought of when I had to teach Mike, but they were like not that long ago, like a year ago. But yes, so
cute.
That's very adorable. So he's all like, there's just so much stuff. I don't know how I'm going to do this with my job and with dealing with Benji. And I want to be like, broski, you haven't dealt with Benji all summer. But like, okay, struggle is real. I'm sure my life is so hard. Okay.
Also, like, he's 10. He's not a baby.
Right. Like, he's, as we have seen in this novel, he's very self-sufficient. Like, he's fine. So I don't, you know, dealing with Benji. So Margo's like, oh, we could look into Packers. And he's like, paying the movers is already expensive enough. And so I was like a little annoyed at Margo here. She was like, well, Emmeline could do it. And I was like, why are you volunteering her? Like, that is really like kind of shitty, especially when, you know, she's kind of like having a rocky time with him. But okay. And so she was like, I have work to do. And Margo's like, well, this is your work. Like, this is part of the work. Because she thought your work. Since I'm selling the house, I can, and I'm technically like your boss in a sense, like I could tell you that. And so she says, she's like, oh, you know, like we can't be discussing personal issues in front of clients. And Emmeline's like, he's my father and you can't just dump everything on me. Like, he's not, like, it's not a normal client. Like, I'm actually blood related to the man. So then I love that her response, Margaret's response is this, is she's just going to ask Morris. And it's like, so she'll just dump it on Morris. But I was like, poor Morris. He deserves better. So we kind of finish off this, you know, she has to go to make a call. And her father is asking her kind of a little bit about Benji, about how he's, you know, really doesn't want to go back to Connecticut. It's going to ruin his life if he knows it. And she's like, well, you know, like he's just like going through like a tough time and you know, like this is a lot for him and he doesn't want to think about everything changing, which again, like it's a lot. Like here he, you know, at least has made a good relationship with Emmeline and is, can kind of be a kid a little bit. And then when he goes back, it's just going to be like dealing with his parents being separated and miserable. And then like being like, you need to eat a lean protein to him and all that BS. So it's a totally normal human response, especially for someone whose frontal lobe is still developing, to be a little apprehensive, a little scared. And her father is just plain old a dick here. He's like, change is inevitable. As a disappointment, best to get used to it now. Like no empathy, no sympathy for her son who is going through admittedly a hard situation.
His 10-year-old son. Like, I cannot emphasize this enough. This child is 10 years old. He just reached double digits of his life.
True.
What are you doing?
He's only
what
lived
are you doing?
One decade on this here planet we call Earth. And you really expect him to be just like, oh, it's whatever. Like, and so I like when Emmeline kind of sasses him. She's like, how can you get used to it? It's always changing, which is so like, it's such a great, like, oh, it changes the novel. She's like, oh, then how can you get used to it? It's always changing, which I just think is really great, to be honest. But yeah, he's just like, he's what a
douchebag.
Yeah, it's just like, what a response to have. And so, yes, he says, you know, again, his part of life in general must one must learn to adapt, move on. And she's like, move on. Okay, well, that's interesting. It's like, all right, it's just like a little subtle message to me. And so she hasn't discussed, obviously, with him this entire summer, the thing that she has wanted to bring up. And I'm quite proud of her here. She decides to go ahead and take a chance and bring it up with him. And y'all, when I tell you that this man could not be a bigger asshole than he is in his response to his daughter in this chapter, and again, also his 10-year-old son in this chapter, I don't know what to tell you. Like, he is just a grade A dick. And so she starts and she's like, you know, the truth is I've been wanting to talk to you about like going to school and what happened to us between us back in the spring. And again, it's more the fact that he like ghosted her. Like, she invited him to graduation and he just like never responded. And she would have never heard from him if it wasn't for the fact that he had to come down and sell his aunt's house. So he's right. Like, oh, I'm not sure this is the right place. Where else can we talk about it, Joel? Because right now we're literally in your house. Like, it's not like they're in public. It's not like she's making a scene. Like, her sister, who again is like family, just stepped out. And it's you. It's just the two of you that are in this room. Like, when else, pray tell, could she bring this up? First of all, I think she should have brought this up like 2 months ago. If I'm being honest, this is restraint, sorry, that she has waited this long. Agreed. And so she's like, you know, I just never really understood why you didn't answer my messages. And then you didn't respond to my graduation invite. And he's like, not now. And she's like, but I just, because again, she's like, I don't understand. We can't discuss this. And he just goes, no. And she says, and that one word, two letters, I heard it. The sharp final tone I associated with my actual parents, the one that let you know when something went from a maybe to no chance, and keeping up pushing would most likely lead to a punishment. No talking, no explanation, just no. And she says here at the end of this page, she's like, the one constant besides change was that we played by his rules. Otherwise, the game was over. And I just, ooh, it makes me seethe with anger. Like, I can't imagine your daughter coming to you and being like, I want to talk about the fact that you ignored me and made me feel like I didn't matter to you and that you didn't care about me. And he's like, no, I said not now. We're not going to discuss it. Like, what? Can you imagine?
Literally. I wrote shitbag at the end of this.
It's what he deserves.
But also I want to mention from my tag here, page 320, she says, and there it is, the elephant in our collective room, the shared albatross around our necks. I was like,
okay. I 100% thought of TTPD when I saw albatross. I was like, oh, Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm. Immediately. It's like,
the word albatross will never be the same to me. I will always associate it with Taylor Swift now.
Always. Just for the rest of the time.
For the rest.
So this was obviously a bad time. So she goes back to the office and she throws herself into work, organizing towels, making deliveries, etc. And Theo is supposed to get off early tonight and he has planned what he called the best outdoor date ever. And I wrote in the margins, I'm so over Theo.
I'm so over this guy.
I'm like, I don't know. I think it might be because I'm reading this as a 32-year-old, but I'm like, okay, buddy. Chill out, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's like, be at the washroom, wear flats, blah, blah, blah. And she goes into her room after work to get ready. And Morris and Amber are not only on her bed, they're eating popcorn, and they both have their shoes on.
Yes.
What kind of monster? What? Who raised you? Yeah. Get your shoes off the bed. Gross. She's like, my shoes aren't dirty. Like, have you walked anywhere outside of this house?
They are dirty. If you have ever worn them
anywhere
around, they are dirty.
Like,
my shoes aren't dirty. Come on.
Like, oh my God. But she's like, I don't know. She didn't have the energy to fight with Amber because she's already fighting with Margot. So she's like, whatever. I'm just going to let this happen. So she's getting ready. She's like, I got a date. Amber's like, she always has a date. And then Amber explains this thing called a dater and then a guy who likes to hang out, I think, is the other one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
a guy who likes to date as opposed
to hang out. Yeah.
Yes. So a dater is one that plans extravagant dates, you know, blah, blah, blah. Theo basically. And then there's the other guy who just likes to hang out, like with beer or video games or whatever. And I like this because I like how Amber's like shamelessly like, I'm the one that's the hangout person. And I'm like, me too. Yeah. I don't need elaborate dates. I need my couch, my safe place. My couch. That's what I need. So I love that for Amber. I hope she finds herself a nice little nerdy video game guy. But this was a pretty good theory that there's the dating kind and then there's the hangout kind.
I really think that this is I feel like my mic is being ringed. I really feel like that is a true thing. And yeah, there's something for each person. My social battery could not ever be with a Theo. Like, I don't mind going out occasionally. I don't mind doing something special for, like, an actual special moment. But, like, again, like, this weekend, y'all, I had a very lovely time. But, you know, a friend was in town. I was, like, constantly, like, with someone. And on Sunday, I agreed stupidly to go over to a different friend who, like, lives locally because she just moved to a new place and, like, help her with a couple other friends put together furniture. It was fine. We got it together really quickly because it was like three women putting it together and there were no men involved. I feel like men are the ones that always make putting furniture together stressful because they just get very overwhelmed by things. And it was lovely, you know, hanging out, having little chit chats, having a little goss sesh. But I was like, my social battery is so drained. I should not have agreed to this. I really needed a day to like decompress and sit on my couch with my dog since I'd been going all weekend. So yeah, people who are daters, the Theos of the world, I was like, I just could never date. Like, my favorite nights with my husband is us just like sitting on the couch watching trashy reality TV together.
Exactly.
That's the time.
Yeah. She's like, Theo is a planner, cruise director of our relationship. He planned, he paid, he engineered the best memories ever. And on days like this, especially, I was really fortunate to have him. And then I wrote like, maybe because I'm 32. Maybe that's why I'm like, fuck this guy. But I'm like, are you fortunate to have him?
Are you fortunate?
What has he brought into your life?
It's interesting. I was thinking about this book and I was like, I feel like this is a bit of, because obviously like in the early aughts of pop culture, the manic pixie dream girl really took off, which then led to what a lot of people termed in YA fiction as the manic pixie dream boy, because obviously a lot of YA is read by predominantly females, written by predominantly females. And so, of course, the protagonists have a predominantly male love interests.
Yeah.
And which we won't get into the heteronormativity of that. That's neither here nor there. But should be noted. But so anywho, so that became a thing like, oh, well, if the movies have manic pixie dream girls, then, you know, the novels have manic pixie dream boys. And I feel like this is such a good deconstruction of it. Like, I don't feel like Sarah Dessen sat there and was like, I'm going to deconstruct the manic pixie dream boy and how it's actually exhausting if you were to date someone like that in real life. But like, she did it. And she did it so well in this book. Because this book, I'm like, I cannot with this guy. I would never be able to date him. Like, this is like that whole, ooh, whimsical. And, you know, I'm going to show you, we're going to get together for one summer and I'm going to show you how to change your life or whatever. It's like,
get on my magic carpet.
Yes. Exactly. So I was like, kudos. I don't know if that's what she like set out to do, but I'm just going to let her know that she did it. And I think that if anyone's ever looking for a deconstruction of that trope, like this is the book to read.
I like it. I'm there with it.
Yeah.
So this is where we find out. This was heartbreaking. This really broke me. Amber leaves and Morris is like, I need to talk to you. Basically, he's like, I have to break up with Daisy. And what? She's like, what are you talking about? Like, this is crazy. And he's like, once she's in college, she's not going to want me to be her boyfriend. She's going to want to live her life. She's going to want to be in college and be independent. And she's going to feel too bad breaking up with me. So I have to be the one to do it because it'll hurt her too much to be the one that does it, basically.
Smart.
And yeah, it's so sad. she says she was thinking about the conversation she had with Daisy the other night, and she's like, this is different languages, same message. Learn the right steps to different dances. She...
Ooh! You know what? Man, so many... We got a lot of sound effects over in those parts today.
I'm alone a lot, so I don't realize when I'm not alone anymore, and I'm just like, oh, woo,
woo. Crash, bang, boom, over here. I like it. They're good reactions, to be honest. Yeah, this makes me really sad. And again, if there is one thing I can relate a lot of things to besides Taylor Swift, it's WB TV shows of a circa set of time. And Morris is giving off Pacey Witter vibes. Pacey. For the youth out there who were not Dawson's Creek fans like myself, fantastic show. You should watch it. But yeah, tell me I'm wrong. I was like, oh, this is like, he thinks, I just like, I'm so sad when people like don't think highly of himself. Like, obviously Morris thinks that Daisy is so smart and so wonderful and she has places that she's going, and why would she want to be stuck with a townie like him? And I was like, because she chose you. She loves you and you are fantastic, Pacey/Morris. And don't belittle yourself. Like, please don't. You're a great guy. And like, Daisy is over there making the dresses and being like so sad because Emmeline is talking about, you know, long distance not working. And she's like really hoping that it does. And Morris is over here like, I got to break up with her because she's going to be too nice to do it. And I was like, no, my dude, she loves you. Like, she wants to make this work. You guys are great together. Like, oh. I'm sad for both of them because, like, if they, then this is what's hard about being a teenager in love. If they could just communicate better, if they were like a little wiser, a little bit more understanding of that, then they can make it work. But he's over here, like, just being a gentleman, or at least he thinks he's being a gentleman. And I mean, like, he is, like, he's being caring of her, but he just, like, is not getting. Ask her what she wants. Ask her if she wants to be in this relationship. And I'm telling you, she will tell you that she does, you know?
Yeah. I, like, definitely see how he could have gotten here, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's totally saying. He's definitely doing this out of, like, an immense amount of love. He's, like, basically thinks he's going to hold her back, which is so sad. Like, just because you're a little towny guy who's, like, not going to some fancy school, like,
there's nothing wrong with
there's
that.
There's nothing wrong with that, my little sweet angel.
Yeah, and like, you're not gonna hold her back. Like, she goes off to be somewhere, you can go with her. Like, I mean, obviously right now, like, he's staying local for school, she's going off, you know, to do her thing, but like, one day when you both graduate, like, sky's the limit, my man. Sky's like, you know, so, like, you're so young, like, truly, like, reading stuff like this now, you're just like, oh my god, like, you think that you're so old and that, like, whatever, and like, you have to make these big life decisions, but you're 18 and you really don't, like, you have so much time to figure things out. Like, just go with the flow right now, just enjoy it, just be in love, it's fine.
Yeah, like, you're gonna be 15 different versions of yourself before you turn 30, so
yeah,
you know, exactly. Just buckle up,
buckle up, baby. Buckle the hell up, let's go for a run.
It's not gonna be fun all the time.
No, it isn't. I think Taylor Swift once said in 15, you know, when you're 15 and you think these things, like, and then you grow up and you realize, although it's a little ironic in her case because she is now dating the boy on the football team, but she's still doing bigger things than him, you know, so it still counts.
Yeah.
Still counts. Okay.
It still counts. It still counts. It's not like her whole life is him. Like, she has a whole career outside of him.
Like, she is the, you know, bigger name of the two of them, let's be honest. So
she's huge. She's huge.
She's absolutely huge. She's the big deal. Kind of a big deal. So where are we? So they're all like, talk later?
Yes.
Like, the end of that conversation? Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Amber comes back and Morris is like, no, I got to go. Like, I just got to go. He feels bad that he's calling himself an asshole. And she says here, like, this made me think of Daisy and her white lie about the dresses. We were willing to do so much for the people we loved, even if it meant hurting ourselves. Maybe that in the end was what love, all kinds, was really all about. And it is. That is beautiful. You can tell that the love Morris has for Daisy is what's steering the ship here with this really bad decision, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's a good decision.
Maybe it is.
They're only 18, you know?
Exactly. Chances are they're not going to work out, but you never know.
Chances are she's probably not going to come back to Colby.
Ever. No, I doubt it for her. But yeah. I mean, like, obviously, like, to visit her family, but I don't think she's ever living there again. No, I don't think so. So, yeah. And maybe Morris is the kind of guy that never wants to leave. And he's like, this just isn't going to work out, you know? And he knows this is going to hurt like hell. But yeah, he's got to do right by her, even if he's kind of doing wrong by, you know what I mean? You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
It's sad, but he's coming from, his intentions are in the right place. You know, his heart's in the right place.
Yep. So he leaves and Amber's kind of just like, what's going on? Like, and, oh my God. Emmeline says, he's such a good guy. And Amber says, I don't know about that, but he's a very good Morris. I love that line. I love it.
He is
a very good Morris. He's I love good. That.
Yes. So he's the cute. Best Morris that he he's could possibly be. And that's all you should ever really achieve in life is to be the best you can possibly be. So I'm proud of Morris. He's done it.
He has. He's so cute. So then she leaves. She goes to her date at the washroom. But Theo's not there. No, he's not. Clyde says they left for lunch and never came back. So that was 2:30 or so. And she had to meet him at the washroom at 6. So it's now 6. So she's like, that's really strange. Like, that doesn't sound like Ivy at all. So she kind of starts to, like, talk to Clyde a little bit. And she's like, so I heard you're really working with them now, huh? Going on a tour, maybe, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah. He's like, you sound shocked at the very thought. And she's like, because I am. I mean, at the beginning of the summer, you wouldn't even talk to them. Now you're thinking of coming out of retirement and taking your show on the road. And he's like, I'm not a circus clown. She's like, kind of like, I don't know what's going on here. She's like personalizing this way too much or something. But she's like, you're not an artist anymore, like blah, blah. And he's like, listen, this is another chance for me to do art again. This is a do-over. I'm not going to, like, just let this go. There's a reason this is happening. Like, let's do it. And she's like, I'm starting to think, though, that some things never get that, the replay and all. So at some point, you just make the peace with it as it is, not keep waiting for a chance to change it. So this is, like, obviously her still kind of being like, wow, my dad's a piece of shit and he's never not going to be a piece of shit. And it's like, I can totally see where you're coming from with that.
1,000%. For sure. Yeah.
But she's like, he was like, you're pretty young to be talking like that. And she says, some people would say disappointment is a good thing to learn young. And Clyde says, but some people are assholes.
Correct. Accurate. You are correct. Spot on with that one, sir. Spot on.
Correct. But
ding, 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 ding.
He gives her some advice here. He's like, but for what it's worth, I'll tell you this. Life is long. Just because you don't get your chance right when you want or expect it doesn't mean it won't come. Fate doesn't punch a time clock or consult a schedule. Look at me, 42, and talking about showing my art again. Didn't see that one coming. And she's like, which is probably why it did. And he said, smart girl.
He is much younger than I thought he was. Clyde gave older vibes. Yes. But also maybe 42 just seems much younger because I'm not that far off from it at this point in my life. I'm sure if I was reading this when I was 18, I'd be like, 42, so old, so sage. But he was giving me early to mid 50s vibes, which again is not like that old, but like just kind of, you know, a little bit older vibes. But I was like, 42, which then again, I did also do a version of Innocent. Of course, the lyric is 32, but I was like, 42 and still growing up now. You won't know you've been. I mean, yes, but I like the fate doesn't punch a time clock or consult a schedule. It's like, yeah, and he's right. Like, you're so young. Like, what we were just saying, like, you were so young. You think that you are not, but you are. And yes, you can do things like, yeah, at 42, you can go take your show on the road and get back out there on tour with your art. So, absolutely. Clyde, he's just so great. He's so sage. He makes a good pie. Love this man.
Love this man. Yeah, that was beautiful advice. And at the end of this conversation, Ivy walks in and she's pissed. She is pissed. She's like, there's an entire working afternoon shot. I can't talk to anybody until I have a drink. Clyde's like, I don't sell drinks, but there's a bar across the street. And he's like, she's like, perfect, let's go. She won't even talk about Theo. And so Emmeline is like, okay, some shit's going down right now. What's going on? I love that when so Clyde goes to the bar with Ivy and Emmeline is like, do you want me to lock up? And he's like, no, just shut the door tight. Which in Colby was basic security measure, an actual lock or alarm system was full on bunker mode. I'm like, wow, that's like so not relatable.
No, not at all. I'm like checking that I lock my door every day. I'm like, is it locked? I locked it. I like check up the staircase right before I go to bed. I like look down and pair my front door. Okay, it's locked.
Yes. I have like extra locks that like extra thing so people can't open the door. Like, she's like, my business? No, you don't have to lock the door.
No, just leave business. It. Just leave it open. Just close it. The door real hard. I also like when he tells her that he looks over at her when he like goes over and he's like, the woman wants a drink. He said with a shrug, as a southern gentleman, I must oblige. Yes. The cutest line for some reason. Well, she wants like a drink. I gotta take her. We must go have a drink. And it's like, yeah, obviously.
Of course.
I love that. But yeah, just close the door real tight. That'll get the job done.
That'll be fine.
That'll be fine. She does get a text from Theo saying change of plans, boardwalk and bikes in 10. And so she's like, okay, bikes. That I guess explains the footwear, because he had requested earlier that she wear flats or whatever. And she's like, cool, I always do. You're the weirdo who like dresses up in a sports coat. So she, you know, meanders down the boardwalk, and he's like, ready for our best outside date ever that has now become even more epic. And she's like, oh, sweet Jesus, okay. So they go to our dear friend Abe's bike, which when she passes Clementine, she sees our girls Auden and Maggie. We stand, yes. We love them. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, trying to figure out what's going on, because obviously Ivy just came in a huff. They weren't there filming all afternoon. He's changing plans, so she's asking, like, is everything okay? And he's like, what does he say exactly? He's like, oh, fantastic. And so she's like, or so he says, just had the biggest blow up with Ivy. Whew, you should have seen her. She was livid. And so he's there with, like, his bags. And so, of course, that raises questions. And he's like, yep, just got thrown out, like, casual. And he's like, that was the part of the whole livid thing. And so, of course, Emmeline is like, what is going on? Like, I have questions. I would like answers. And he's just being so, like, weird and, like, casual about it. Like, he's been thrown out of, like, this project that was so important to him. Ivy was so, like, iconic to him. And she's like, you know, are you sure you're okay? And he's like, yeah, it's fine. Let's just, like, get on these bikes and we're going to head on by. And, like, everything's fine. And then on page 333, they happen to okay, she says, finally, after a traffic jam at the pavilion, where some terrible sounding band was playing Spinnerbait, according to the banner they had tacked up. I was like, oh, I hate Spinnerbait.
Hate Spinnerbait.
Oh, Spinnerbait. Love the Spinnerbait mention, even though we hate them. So we hate them. And so he's like, oh, not too far now. You're going to love this. And they end up at the campgrounds, which is just like RVs and trailers. It's kind of the like seedier part of town. Again, apparently closing your door hard is good in most of Colby. Nothing really bad happens in Colby, but if there's one part of the town that her parents have always advised her to avoid, it's this campground. So she's like, you know, the tourists that can't find like a hotel or a rental house stay here. And again, like usually it's like construction workers who come for like a month and will stay there. And so she's like, you know, not a place you went on the best outdoor date ever or ever if you could help it. So the road's getting bumpy. They're just like driving down. And so he pulls up to lucky number 7 and she's like, whose house is this? And he's like, mine. It's a rental, $25 a night, first 3 nights free with a month commitment. What's not to love?
What's not to love?
What a steal. So it's sketchy AF, obviously. And he's just like, I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to stay here for the rest of the summer. And I will give myself enough time to be where I need to be work-wise, hang out with you, and hit the beach bash in great fashion, preferably in that order. Come on, check out the inside. So he just, like, gets on in there, watch your step. He still decides that he, you know, is going to, like, have, like, this nice, like, hors d'oeuvres, whatever. She's like, he always has to be fancy, even when, like, the worst, you know, thing. And she's like, you know, I can't believe that you went from Sandcastle, just the nicest house on the tip, to this place. And he's like, oh, I'm a New Yorker. Like, I'm used to small, crappy places. No biggie, whatever. So he wants to celebrate. She's very confused because, again, this seems like it should be a bad day for him. And he's like, to freedom and new beginnings. And so she's like, you know, you're going to tell me what happened. And he says that basically is Clyde's going on tour, which, again, she kind of already knew that, even though Clyde said it wasn't set in stone, in conjunction with the film's release early next year. And she's like, I thought that was indefinite. And he's like, oh, no, it is. And so basically it sounds like he has no desire to really help Ivy finish the documentary. He just is like kind of like using the documentary to get to Clyde. And Emmeline kind of points out, like, you would have had no idea that he was ever going to, like, talk to you guys when you came down here. And he's like, oh, I, like, get what I want. I'm a very driven person and whatever. And she's like, the whole thing comes off so, like, disgusting. And so she's like, so you did kind of plan on this? And he's like, I mean, you know, kind of, whatever. And she's like, it got you fired. And he's like, risk is part of ambition. And yeah, like, just like this whole conversation is so weird. And so then he also says that, like, this will kind of help Clyde, like, give him, like, street cred, basically, with Clyde. He's like, me staying in this shitty little trailer, like, that's going to be way more impressive to Clyde Conway. Like, you know, you said it yourself. He doesn't like rich people and whatever. And she's like, okay. So she says, you know, something wasn't right here. It was like the smell of the bleach, obvious and nebulous at the same time, one thing covering another. And so she's like, I don't think Clyde would like seeing you trying to be something that you're not. And he's like, maybe or maybe not. And he's like, regardless, the best summer ever. So I've done better than ever. No more Ivy Dito. We have to drink to that. And then she said that basically when they were driving their like bikes back toward the pier, she's like, maybe it was the wine and the freedom. But this time he was moving fast as if lighter. And within very little time, he sped out pretty far ahead of me. I waited for him to notice this and slow down, maybe even turn back. When it became clear he wasn't going to, I just pedaled faster, suddenly aware that the last thing I wanted was to be left behind. And yeah, it's like he like seems like he doesn't even like give a shit about her, basically. He's like, all right, we're in like a really sketchy part of town, and I'm just going to like pedal on ahead of you and not even notice that you're there. And
yeah,
I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like anything about this.
Yeah, like it's giving, I just did coke in the bathroom. It's giving, I'm having a breakdown. It's not a good look. And he doesn't give a shit about her, which has been pretty obvious throughout this whole thing, in my opinion. Everything he's done has been for him. Like,
yes, you know,
we'll get there, but a parallel to her father, which we will see now in this here chapter 17.
Yes. Oh, chapter 17. Getting juicy.
Chapter 17. So she wakes up choking because her dad is putting sealant in the house, and it's like, you're not supposed to breathe in those fumes. And he was like, we told you, you couldn't be here. I checked at 5:30 and you weren't here.
Yes.
Where were you? Your dad didn't wait up on the couch for you like mine.
I know. This whole beginning of this chapter, I was like, my parents would never.
Would never.
She just like was out all night and they had no idea they weren't panicking. Her mom had texted her a few times. She never responded. Her phone died and they didn't send the cops out. Can't relate.
Can't relate. Nope. So he gets her outside to safety. And she
just like the way you said that. Okay. I guess that's just safety, y'all. Okay.
Safety. And so this is where she finds out, like, she's honest with him.
Yeah.
She's like,
I can't relate. That's wild.
Like, no.
If I had like, fucked up this badly, I'd just be like, yes, I'm fine. I'm so sorry.
I would have been like, I had a panic attack at 5 a.m. and I just had to come home and be in my bed. From Daisy's house, not from this sketchy campground where I fell asleep. My phone died.
No, sir. Certainly was not there with the dead phone. Mm-mm, not me.
Nope, not me. And but she doesn't lie. She tells him the truth, which, I mean, good parenting, I guess. And well, she was trying to avoid it, but then when he pulls the soda out of her car, which gross, by the way, and hands it to her to drink, it has the Conroy Pier fish and tackle on it. And this is where he's like, what the fuck? And he's like, what were you guys even doing there? Like, I thought he was renting that fancy house. And she's like, yeah, but he got kicked out. It's a long story, basically. So he is pissed.
Right. Furious. So, I would say. Usually when Dustin parents are mad, I'm like, I don't understand what's wrong with you. And this one time I was like, I'm with mom and dad on this.
Yeah. Mom and dad are right here. This whole chapter, in my opinion.
So right.
But he, mom walks up at this time with breakfast for dad. And she's like, oh, I thought you would still be asleep at Daisy's. And dad's like, nope. And mom is like, oh, what the fuck is going on? And so he tells her, like, or she has to tell him. No, he tells her. Emmeline spent the night at the campground, apparently. Mom goes nuts. She's like, what are you doing? Like, I didn't raise you to be stupid, no matter how old you are. Do you even know what goes on there? It's lawless. And he's like, oh, she didn't get your messages. And he's like, I just found her in bed, breathing in fumes. And she's like, you were in the house? And so this is when mom finds out that she came in after 5:30 in the morning. And so then dad eats his little Sammy and leaves.
He's like, I'm going to leave you to this. You can go ahead and throw down the law.
Yes, because she says, my phone died. And mom says, at the campground in the middle of the night. What, do you have a death wish now too? And this gets Emmeline. This gets Emmeline in a place that ticks her off. She's like, what's that supposed to mean? And mom's like, what did you just say? Teenagers. And she said, you asked if I had a death wish now, in addition to what else exactly? And this is when dad's like, bye. So she's like, Emmeline, I just feel like I don't even know you anymore. Like, you've been out late. You're not answering my text messages. I don't know Theo. Like, she's like, you've never brought him over here. Like, I'm used to Luke, who I've known forever. And she's being a very stubborn teenager. She's like, I'm 18. I can do whatever I want. You just like Luke because you knew him your whole life. What, am I not allowed to date people that you didn't know their parents in high school? And she's like, that's not what I'm saying. And it's like, no, Emmeline, that's not what she's saying at all. No. That's literally not what she's saying at all. But I understand you're a teenager. You're mad. Whatever. A lot of things are going on for her right now. She's all over the place. And so then Emmeline says to her mother, she says, I hope not, because it was you, if I remember correctly, who is so adamant that I not end up tied down so young with someone from here. I mean, make up your mind. Do you want me to be like you or not? I would have gotten slapped.
Yeah. Like,
I would have gotten slapped.
That is a wild thing to say. And truly, so to speak, like, obviously every parent that has any care for their child as they should, I say it all the time, like, you know, whatever, like, there's no requirements to be a parent. Anyone can do it. Anyone can do it. And that's terrifying. But the people that are actually good at it obviously only want better for their children than they have for themselves. That's like a normal thing. I want that. Like, I'm not a parent, and I want that for every future generation of human being. And I was like, I think I'm never met a person who's like, you have it so easy. I had to climb up a hill. No, I want y'all to have it the fucking easiest. That's what y'all deserve. Like, yeah, I just can't. Like, I just imagine, like, throwing that back at someone. Like, you wanted better for me. And, like, so do you want me to be like you? And it's like, that's disrespectful. Like,
so disrespectful.
Put some respect behind your mom's name. Your mom is a teenager. Like, it is hard being a parent at any age, again, can you imagine your age, the age you are now, and mine, being responsible for a whole nother human being? Like, say whatever you want about teen moms or whatever, and people will say it, but like, shut the hell up. Like, I have such like admiration truly for anyone who can do that. Like, I can't imagine. I think that's the hardest thing. And like, so many teen moms who still go on to get a college degree and do this, that, and the other thing and take care of a whole living person and love them, like, or make the decision, like, I know that I'm not capable of doing this as a teen mom, and I'm going to give my child away. Like, that is so brave. That is so strong. I just amazed truly that people can do that. And if I was her mom, I would be like, what? Like, what did you just say to me?
Yeah.
But yeah, just want better for future generations, everyone. And also, yes, don't throw disrespect to the person who, like, again, this is crazy in a Destin novel to be like defending the mom, but her mom is a good mom. Like, her mom, yeah. I'm a little worried that neither of you noticed that she was gone all night, but now that you have, you are rightfully like, what the FDF? Your phone was dead and you were at the campground? So there, the concern is there now.
Yes.
But yeah, this whole bit was just like,
I felt
for mom here. And again, I understand that Emmeline is also upset right now. And she's not even, like, that's the thing. She's not even really upset with her mom.
Right.
But she feels safe. She feels comfortable going at her mom because she knows that at the end of the day, her mom is always going to be there for her. The person that she really wants to yell out, she doesn't feel comfortable yelling out because she doesn't have that guarantee. Like, she exactly. knows, like, that person might not be there for her always. Might be like, okay, fine, and whatever, and never have a relationship there anymore. And that is sad. So I feel for everyone in the scenario. I feel for Emmeline. I feel for mom. But yeah, I was like, oh, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But yes, and so her mom is like, what I did was give up everything for the wrong person. It was a mistake. I can't undo it. The closest I get every day is making sure you don't do the same thing. And she's like, but you're right. You're a big girl now. I can't protect you anymore from everything, especially yourself. She looked away, then back at me. But know this, Emily, and the mistakes you make now count. Not for everything and not forever, but they do matter and they shape you. If you take nothing else from what I've been through, at least remember this. Make your choices well, because you'll always be accountable for them. That's what being an adult is all about. Which, yes. But also, I really do hate it that when people that had children young refer to it as a mistake, and I'm like, please don't call your child a mistake. And I know she's not really
to the child.
To the child. I know she's not like really trying to say this to Emmeline. She's saying like being with her father was the mistake, but it can kind of come off across. Like, if I was Emmeline and I was upset, like, it would come off across to me as like, well, I like ruined my mom's life and I'm a mistake and whatever. And it's like, please don't like ever say that to your kid. That's true. That's just very traumatizing. I would imagine.
But like, comparing what mom says here about like the mistake she made, you know, as like she says, like, it was a mistake. It didn't affect, like, she says, like, it didn't affect everything. It does affect everything. But like, she's like, just make your choices well, because you're going to be accountable for them. That's what life's about. Like, you live with the choices you make. And then later when we talk to dad, he's like, basically, like, you were the biggest mistake of my life, and I wish you didn't exist, basically.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I've been trying to fix you and get you out of this place. And she's like,
wow, okay, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, mom's rationale is like, it was hard. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. Obviously, it was hard. I'm mad at myself for falling for that guy. And obviously, you know, he kind of wronged me. And then I was a single teenage mom doing this and whatever. And like, again, I don't think she regrets having her daughter. She loves her daughter. Her daughter means, you know, her daughter is like, mean everything to her. Her family means everything to her. But again, like I said, it's not wrong for her to want better for her daughter. Like, you don't want something to be as hard for your kid. And so she's like, I would prefer if you didn't take that route, because it was difficult. But, and again, just the Theo guy and whatever, she's like, I think you're going down that path and this person is going to hurt you, and I don't want you to be hurt. Like, I think that this person dating him is a mistake, and she's probably onto something there.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, let's get into the dad thing. So basically, to kind of skip into that, because like it's the juiciest bit, and I feel like we're gonna have like obviously some things to say about this conversation. So they wrap up with mom. She like gets a shower, tries to get her head on straight to go into work, and then she sees that her mom's car is there, and she's by both Amber and Margot's, and so she's like, "Oh, they're definitely all in the conference room talking about me. No thanks, I don't really want to deal with that." Which again, it's fair. So she decides to drive off to good old North Redmain. And she ends up, before she knows it, kind of heading into Gert's. She sees our girl Rachel, who's making, of course, the bracelets. And she talks a little bit about how she was young when she had the accident. So she doesn't remember much, but she just remembers that, like, you know, obviously Rachel, it put a pause on her life. And yeah. So she says, you know, like, when that happened to my mom, it did in a different way. Left behind with everyone else, grew up, moved away, moved on. Talk about accountability. And so with her mom's and you know head in her, her voice in her head, make your choice as well. She decides to go talk to dear old dad again, or well, again, dear old father, I guess. And she's like, hey, you know, coming on over. And, you know, they kind of do like a little small talk at first, like, oh, you know, oh, yeah, you're up early. No, you're up early. And then he kind of drops the bomb that like Margot said that they got an offer. And so she's like, oh, this is now or never. Like, he's going to be leaving soon. I want answers. I am owed answers, which I think is 100% true. And she's like, I'm going to go ahead and talk to him or whatever. Which also, he like throws some shade at her mom, which I didn't really like. A little bit.
And multiple times.
Like, yeah, multiple times. And I was like, big fuck you, buddy. So, anyways, she says that, how does she start this? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, she was shocked about, like, Benji being disappointed. And again, he's kind of like, whatever, I'm a dick and I don't care about my kids. And so she's like, you know, like, I'll miss him. And he's like, oh, he'll miss you. You know, I appreciate all that you've done for him this summer. And she's like, of course, he's my brother. Because again, she gets it. Like, that, like, of course. Like, when it's a child, and like, of course, you just like care for him. Like, that's how it works.
Yep.
And so, anyways, she goes ahead and she's like, truthfully, until the day you called, I was thinking I might never hear from you again. And he's like, I told you, we don't need to talk about all that. He said, like, it's in the past. And I'm just like, can you imagine, like, your daughter being like, I thought I'd never hear from you again. And being like, yeah, we talked about this. It's in the past. We're done with that conversation. Okay, sir. What the hell? Like, may I just ask kindly, what the hell? And so she's like, oh, she's like, maybe, but it was still really hurtful to me and confusing. I don't understand why. And that, I'm like, thank you. Thank you for finally laying down that hurt you, because he needs to know that. Does he care? No. But he needs to know it. And he's like, well, because I was getting a divorce and I thought I would have the money and then I didn't. That's why. And she's like, money? You think that's what this is about? And he's like, I think that it's bad enough that you're having to go to a state school after all the work we did to get you into Columbia. The only thing worse is that you continue to feel the need to berate me about it. What? What, my dude? She has not berated you. You literally sent her like a 2-word email, ghosted her. You show up. She has been nothing but kind to you. A couple days ago, she was like, hey, broski, do you mind if we just like talk about this real quick? Like how you literally have been a dick to me my whole life. And when I finally thought that maybe you liked me, then you ghosted me again and never offered an explanation. And he's like, no, I refuse to talk to you about it. And now he's like, you're berating me. And it's such a like man, like egotistical, like he of course only thinks this is about money. And he of course feels so small because he couldn't offer her money. And she's basically standing at him, like yelling in his face, this has nothing to do with it. That's not what, like, this is not how, you know, this is not what it is. And she says, you know, here, you know, he talks about, again, like, oh God, the things he said to her is like so shitty, truly.
Yeah.
And he's like, disappointment is part of life, just like change. You tell me about you, blah, blah. And he's like, you don't understand. So he's like, Columbia was my chance to fix everything for you, to get you out of here, give you a life not like your mother's or grandmother's, and I couldn't do it. Fuck you, dude. Because you want to know what her mother and grandmother have done? Everything. And they have nothing to be ashamed about. You, on the other hand, have everything to be ashamed about. So, like, don't even, like, Columbia's going to fix things. And I love that she sticks up for herself. And she's like, She said, I was never broken. I didn't need you to fix me, which, yeah, thank you. Can I get an amen? And then she says, what I needed, I said, picking my words and tone carefully, was for you to reply to my graduation invitation, to come watch me walk, to be proud of me no matter where I went to school. And it's like, yeah, yeah, that's what being a parent is. Like, I can't, and like this, like, literally when I read this page, it got me so choked up because, like, this is real life for people. People really have, like, shitty parents like this. And I, like, I just can't imagine. Like, as someone who was so fortunate to have parents that I could, like, you know, whatever I did, like, they're proud of me and whatever and always supported me and always supported my sisters and would do anything for us and anything for their grandkids. I was, like, I truly just, like, my heart hurts so much for people that, like, have shitty parents. Like, I just can't imagine. And I'm so happy that a lot of those people find their own, you know, found family. And that's why I think found family is so beautiful. Like, just because you clearly, just because you have blood relation to someone doesn't mean that they're family. Like, the person, you know, her dad, who actually is a dad and has been there for all of those things, is her family. But I just, like, I can't imagine this mentality being like, I only wanted the best for you. And so, you know, she's like, well, too bad. When you sign on to have a kid, you sign up for the whole package. Good, bad, everything in between. You can't just dip in and out, picking and choosing the parts you want and quitting when it's not perfect. And I was like, literally, sir, how small do you feel right now that you as a grown-ass man don't understand this? That your 18-year-old daughter is schooling you on what it means to be a parent. Because she gets it. She understands, like, she knows. And I was like, I'm embarrassed for you, truly, sir, that, like, she is schooling your ass around. And he doesn't, like, it doesn't even compute in his brain. You know what I mean? I was like, this is wild. And he's like, I want to get you out of this place. And she's like, I'm still going. Like, I got a full ride to a school. Like, anyone else would be proud of that. And he's like, oh, 2 hours away. And she's like, yeah, at first, but from there, like, it's a start. It's not finished. And I'm like, exactly. Like, people think you have to have everything decided when you're going to college. And it's, like, so not. It's, like, very, very much the beginning of a new chapter. It's definitely not the end of it. And he's like, you're so young. Yeah, exactly. She's so young. Like, what? Like, why do you think? He's like, you have no idea how one bad choice, one stupid mistake can change everything for you. And once it's done, believe me, it's done. But the sick part is you're still spending your whole life trying to fix it. What are you trying to fix? What are you trying to fix, sir? Like, I just don't understand. And so she's, you know, thinking, she's like, one bad choice, one big mistake, one summer, one girl, one Emmeline. And so she's like, wow, okay. You say it, but you mean me, right? And it's like, yeah, yeah, he does. And, like, he really is saying that to you. And I just... My brain can't compute how you can be that shitty of a human being, truly. And again, like, obviously I know this is fiction, but again, truly, like, people really are this shitty. And that just, well, oh, they're really, just anyone can be a parent. Anyone, there are no requirements. I can't stress that enough. And I really feel like there should be. It's just really shitty. And so just then, like, of course, Emmeline is like, wow, okay, like, you know, suddenly, irrevocably, I understood all this time from the day at Igor's when he first brought up the subject of college. I thought this was about what he wanted for my life, my future, but it was never about me. And it's like, yep. My mom had taught me a lot of things, but one of the big ones was that if you made a mistake, you owned up to it. Learn from it. My father, I saw now, wasn't able to do this. He couldn't even get past trying to fix it. That was his problem, though, no matter what he thought. I wasn't a problem or a mistake. I was his daughter. And despite all of this and him, I was going to be just fine. Fuck yeah. You don't need him.
You don't need him.
Truly don't need him. Bye. Bye, Joel.
Bye.
So just then Margot comes in and of course she's like, hello, what's going on? Here I am. We've got offer. Yay, yay, yay. And then of course Margot immediately clocks that like something is definitely wrong with Emmeline. And she's like, what's going on? Are you okay? And she's like, I'm outie, you know, thanks, I'm great, I'm fine. So she walks on out of there as Margot's all like, woohoo, we are going to sell you a house, Joel. And just then she basically is like heading back to Colby and she doesn't know who to turn to. She can't really go to Theo about this because he's useless. She can't. She's like, even Morris and Daisley, like, they've already heard me complain about my father enough. Like, I really don't want to bother him. Mind you, they wouldn't mind. That's what friends are for, a girlfriend. You could totally bother them. But she says she was right outside the realty office and it turned red. If it hadn't, she probably would have gone by. But there she sees her mom waiting for her. And of course, she's like, oh, of course, Margo probably called her the instant that she saw me. Which again, that's what family does. Okay. And so she says, and she spotted my car. When our eyes met, she bit her lip, then came down the steps into the lot, crossing her arms over her chest. The light changed, and I put on my blinker, and I turned in, now sobbing. I disappointed her, too, that day, and an awful lot lately. But still, when I got out of the car, she was waiting for me. Because, again, that is what a true parent effing does. They will be there for you, even when you're being a little shit. And believe you me, y'all, I was a teenage girl once. I know that we can be little shit. Really, a good chunk of our 20s, too, if we're being honest.
If we're being honest.
And then one day we figure it out and we're like, well, real sorry about those times. Maybe hormones. They were high. Okay.
Hormones. Yes.
Yeah. I love that chapter. I love the juxtaposition of the way, like, she gets in a fight with her mom and she gets in a fight with her father. And the way he handles it, the way her mother handles it, the fact that at the end, even after everything that's gone on, her mother is there waiting for her to collect her when she falls to pieces, because again, that's what good moms are for. And again, I will make that distinction because there are a lot of mothers who would not do that. But good moms would. So yeah. Oh, it's just.
Mm-hmm.
When I say my blood was boiling, when this man was talking to this girl like that, I tell you my blood was boiling.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah. It's like, mom's whole thing is like, I'm concerned about you. I want what's best for you. Whereas Joel is like, I want what's best to make my guilt feel less. And like, I don't really need to be there for you because you're just like at Columbia, I paid for it. Like check that off the box. Like I'm done.
Spot on. Spot on.
It's like with Theo, it's like he really only cares about himself. Like his behavior doesn't really say, oh yeah, I like you could sub Emmeline out for anyone.
Oh like, yeah.
You know, like
this whole experience is about him having like, I didn't really get to date a lot. I want to advance myself in my career. I want to have the best summer ever. And yeah, like it could be with any girl. Like he likes the idea of having someone to date. He doesn't really particularly like Emmeline in a sense. Like, yeah, that's like, that's a perfect. And like you were saying earlier, you really start to see the more in this book how he is like her dad, and that like everything is just about that. Like they're just the same. There's just no consideration from him being like, every date that we do, I'm in a plan and I'm never going to ask you what you want to do or what you're interested in, or if you would like to go eat shrimp burgers instead of this weird food I'm making you try. And her dad was just like, of course you're going to go to Columbia. And they all do it under the guise of this is what's best for you. And it's like, you never ask the person that you're supposedly trying to do what's best for them, what they think is what's best for them. Yeah. Can you imagine looking someone in the eye who just got a full ride scholarship to a school and being like, yeah, but it's not Columbia, which again, she did get into. And the only reason she's not going to is because of you, you dick. I was like, seriously, step on a Lego. Benji, I really hope you get into Lego, and I hope you just leave it all over the living room floor. It's what he deserves.
God. And I hope you move out immediately when you turn 18.
God, emancipate yourself. Truly, my dude, you deserve it. Mm-hmm. Ugh, his parents are. I mean, that's what makes me feel really bad for Benji, is at least Emmeline has her mom and her dad and her sisters. Benji really has just Emmeline. And again, he's not close to, like geographically, he is not close to her. Obviously, they gained closeness this summer. Something is funny. but again, like he doesn't have anyone, like both his mom and his dad suck. And I was like, my poor little buddy. So
I know.
But yeah, I mean, we're at that point of the book. We're leaving everyone on a downer. But
yeah.
4 chapters left, two episodes left of The Moon and More, everyone. As we transition into fall, we leave the summer behind us. And The Moon and More behind us as well. All right. Yes. Thank you for joining us. Come back on Thursday for Chaos. Don't forget, we are on YouTube. Come hang out with us on YouTube. Mike Lance doing some really cool things with the edits. I'm very much impressed. When she said she had a new video, I was like, yeah, awesome. Let's do it. And then I was like, do you know what you're doing? She's like, I'm going to find out. And she's really winging it. She's really rocking it. Well, you're winging it and rocking it.
Okay.
You're like, okay. You're like, that's not a compliment. That's not what I meant to say, everyone. What I meant to say, she's really rocking it.
Thank you.
Please excuse me. Today someone told me if they like that I call people legends a lot, and that's not even something I really realized I did. And then when they said it, I was like, you're right, I do. So I'm gonna throw one at you. You're a legend. And it's thank great. You know, is there a better compliment you can give to someone than that? I don't know. But I like throwing it out there. Anywho, everyone take care of yourselves. We're entering a beautiful time of year. Please be merry, please be happy. Go enjoy those autumnal vibes, buy those pumpkin candles. Live your best life. Hope for the best for future generations, as we all should if you're a decent human being. And yes. Love y'all long time. Okay.
Bye. Okay, bye.